My name is Brian McDaniel, N4AE, and I'm the trustee of K9RSR, which is the official scout radio station at Rainbow Council in Illinois.
I guess, how did you find me and stuff?
Well, I hear you. I mean, I'm Linux in the Hand Shack. I hear you occasionally on a couple of the podcasts for, I think it's Newsline. Do you do the report for Newsline?
Yeah, I do all the radio scouting stuff for them.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. We were getting ready to go to, in September, Rainbow Council, which is basically serves the suburban counties south and west of Chicago.
Okay.
We were looking at, I was going to actually kind of maybe just tag you in a tweet, hey, could you help promote, family camp, kind of a scout camp on the air kind of thing coming up next month. But then I retracted it because I got to thinking, I'm like, well, you know what? I bet with all the Jamboree on the Air stuff coming up, maybe he would find it interesting what I'm seeing. I've been doing the rounds of club presentations for the last few weeks. To promote Jamboree on the Air, not so much to get volunteers for our group, but to sort of show them how you could do it if you wanted to on your own. And I was in Chicago last week, and again, the same questions come up. Well, how do we actually find these scout units? I don't know anyone in scouts. I don't have grandkids in scouting anymore. We don't even know where to start. When I was a scout in 1945, or whatever the answer is, those councils were a whole lot different than they are today. And I said, that's actually really true. And so I wrote I had written a blog post about trying to actually, what you should be doing back before the end of last school year was over. You want to reach out and find those units now because they go into hibernation over the summer, especially Cub Scout packs. And when the fall comes up, you want to be first in line to let them know that you've got a plug and play program for them with Jamboree on the Air. It's an arrow of light advancement. Your Weebelos are going to just flock to the thing. They're going to have some fun and you don't have to do anything, which, is a Scoutmaster's, Cubmaster's dream. And so I was explaining to the ham operators how I would go about it. I said, go to scouting.org and enter your zip code. That's really designed for moms and dads to find packs or troops in their area. But you can do the same thing. And the emails that you can submit through the site go to the people that you're wanting to contact, the Cubmaster, the committee chair. And that's the way you begin that engagement. And I didn't know, with any of the stories that you probably have in the queue or on your editorial calendar related to Jamboree, as to whether or not that was a component you might address. And since I had seen the need, I'm like, well, I just wanted to tickle you. If you were already thinking about it, great. If not, I just wanted to pitch it up as a thought.
I know in the past we have talked a little bit about the whole reason why Cub Scouts are becoming more important because of the slight change to the requirements. For that arrow of light and stuff like that, which is a huge, huge impact for getting the youth involved in radio scouting. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. I think that part of the value is lost on some people. It's like, changed the whole thing. And it's real important that we all pitch in from the amateur side and make sure that, these places have accessibility to amateur radio and that we're offering it up. We're offering to bring it out to you. And that's the key that we're talking, myself and Jim Wilson, K5ND, we're constantly telling people, it's like, don't sit there and invite scouts to you. You go find out where the scouts are and you just go to them because that's how it succeeds. It's not going to succeed to you inviting them, find a camporee, find a camp out, find any event, we're just after popcorn sales at that point, Actually, I think we're right in the middle of it. We're either the last weekend or the middle weekend. Yeah. Doing a big sell thing where I know our council's, we're Montana council, so we're not, we're not huge, but we're spread out all over the place. But our local district, they put on like that weekend, they put a little barbecue together to kind of have like a huge sell push for the kids. Hey, fill up your sheet, bring it over here, get a sundae, ice cream sundae. Those kinds of events like that are perfect because scouts are coming in and out there. You just show up and, throw up a station and be there to answer questions. And hey, if they want to get on the air, get on the air and, Stuff like that is very simple to do, and logistically is very, very easy to organize because, they already have something on the calendar.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I think that the key thing for an amateur radio operator is, maybe we were scouts at a younger age when we were kids. Maybe we've been away from it too long to where we don't necessarily know how the structure works anymore. And I think that knowing how to cross that gap and engage is vital. The Cub Scout program received a major overhaul, that benefits, I think, ham radio for the best. The Arrow of Light, which is a Weebelows achievement, has a tailor-made option for us. I mean, connect with a scout in another country at an event like Jamboree on the Air. It's written right into the program. And your ham club should be reaching out to those local Cub Scout packs now. I kind of describe it as kind of manna from heaven as far as ham radio goes.
Yeah.
And you want to reach out to that Cub Master because he's going to set the calendar. And what you tell him is really, really simple. Look, I have Arrow of Light advancement for your Weebelows. You show up to this park or wherever your location is going to be, spend an hour. The kids are going to play with computers, they're going to play with radios, they're going to talk with people in other countries, and they're going to have a good time, and you get to check the box. And I don't know of any Cub Master in the country who wouldn't say, "Where do I need to be and when they hear something that's that easy to do.
Right.
That's what we've tried to do in Rainbow Council. We serve 6,000 youth in suburban Chicago. So we're south and west. Most people, if you know Joliet, that's kind of where we are. And we've been promoting ham radio now for about 5 years. We've got a group of about 15 dedicated ham radio operators and scouters who have ham radio licenses. And we've been putting together events for several years. The council knows us. They know that when we show up, it's a great program. The kids are beginning to become very familiar with us, and they like us because, hey, I talked to someone on an aircraft carrier one time. They have that story that we all remember when we had our first contact on the radio. And even though conditions have been bad lately, we've been experimenting with DMR in at the actual campsite in Morris, Illinois, and we're finding that that helps us bridge the gap. And I realize that some people may say, "Oh, well, you're using the internet to fix a communication." Well, maybe that wouldn't count in a contest per se, but in scouting, that's the component. We want them to talk to someone, in another country. So the standards are a little bit different. And when you look at it from the vantage point of advancement for the scout, the decisions are a whole lot easier, I think, to make. We've been operating for several years. If we were a field day station, we'd be 4 Alpha. We have two phone and two digital stations. We've discovered that the Cub Scouts, the younger guys, they like to talk on the microphone. The older boys, they obviously gravitate toward the computer. And so it gives everyone something to do. We also take the fact that we know these are scouts that are coming. So you've got scout leaders or such. We actually get district commissioners or council commissioners to show up to the event as well, so that the scout unit adults can actually have their contacts with the program so they can talk scout business while we're helping those kids, be introduced to a brand new hobby. We find that's very effective. Otherwise, you've got a control operator and a boy and maybe 10 other people around them asking questions all at the same time. And that makes for a very noisy, difficult environment to manage. And so we're doing things to make sure that we can have that one-on-one relationship to help them see through. This year, we're doing something also new. We're doing direction finding. We're doing a little fox hunt. We're not going to have the kids build the antennas because the time constraints, I think, would be too much of a challenge. But it gives them an opportunity to do some orienteering. It doesn't necessarily count on the Cub Scout side for advancement, but the Boy Scouts actually are getting service hours because you don't have to be a ham radio operator or a licensee to run the fox. You have someone who is a control operator making sure the station's working properly, but you can put a Boy Scout in front of it to explain to the younger kids how to do it and go find the fox. And that way they're picking up some leadership, some teaching. It's trying to find as many avenues to intersect for advancement as we possibly can so that the program is good. And from there, we get constant feedback from the council and from folks that attend that they say, you know, this is a really thought out process. And I have to say that's a compliment to the guys who have been dedicating, you know, several years now to seeing this program. I'm not going to take the credit. It's them that's doing it. And without them, you know, we wouldn't be, I think, as successful in getting it done as we have been.
Where are you actually setting up your JOTA at?
Our JOTA is actually going to be in the geographical center of the district and the council. It's going to be in Joliet, Illinois. The council is officially headquartered in Morris, but the population is a little bit more further to the north. We're going to be in Inwood Park, which is in Joliet. Most people should be able to drive I-55, just get off at the Shorewood exit, and we're right there.
And you're going to be at an already scheduled scouting event, or is this something you guys are inviting the scouts to?
No, this is actually specifically Jamboree on the Air. We've been promoting it through the council since January to let them know. We not only do promote it on the council's website, we also make sure that we're hitting all of the district roundtables. For the non-scouters, we're going basically to the monthly meeting where the adult leaders actually find out what's going on and what the events are, so that they see us, they see our brochures, they see our literature, and they get it into the calendar so they know where it's in. So we typically serve around 100 scouts every year throughout the day. We anticipate the push and the energy that we're hearing that we're probably going to be somewhere close to 150 or maybe 200 kids throughout the day.
Oh, very good. So that's another key piece that we constantly tell people is that, you know, all these districts have what they call roundtable meetings where all the Cub Scout units and all the troops come in and the venture crews. They all come in and meet, you know, typically once a month during active times in the calendar year. And they discuss things like, you know, what's going on in the district, what's going on in the council. They generally have some kind of program. And I know our particular district, after that, we have breakout sessions with the individual, you know, the PACs will go over here and the troops will go over there and the crews will go over there and the OA will have their meeting. And it's a great opportunity if you're an amateur, not really involved in scouting, but want to learn about the scouting program and also, you know, the ability to get on the calendar, which is, you know, the key piece in making a Jamboree on the Air successful, is show up to these meetings and introduce yourself and be a fixture there in a face of the amateur radio community, you know, whether that's for your club or for your, you know, group of friends that just like doing radio scouting.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other benefits to this is that they become familiar with you. You may not be a scouter. Well, I guess you are a scouter at that point, because if you're attending the roundtables and you're registered as an adult leader, even if you're not specifically assigned to a unit, you're a scouter.
Yeah,
but
as they get familiar
with you, I think that one of the benefits is now all of a sudden you're going to get inquiries from individual units. We have seen a very significant increase in troops who want us to come out and for a program during a troop meeting, show them the hobby, introduce them to it. And so, you know, we've done some HF work. We've done some, you know, 2 meter 440 work, just to give them the touch of the hobby. You know, we don't try to go in and, you know, let every kid get in front of the microphone. You know, we just do a real quick demonstration, but it's becoming very active. And now we're seeing those scouts who've been exposed to it come back and say, well, what about this radio merit badge? Can you help us with that? And every one of the people in our team actually is a registered merit badge counselor. So the answer is yes, we can. And so we're seeing the evolution of just being around, then being visible, then seeing the cool stuff. And now we're actually beginning to see benefit where they're actually finding us as a resource for advancement, which, you know, I don't think that you can, you know, we wouldn't want to ever see that go away. That's a great way of doing things.
Yeah, that's very good. So what's the population of scouts like in your immediate district there in the southwest side of Chicago?
So Chicago is a metropolitan of about 6 million people, give or take. And we are in the counties that are to the south and west. So Will County, Kankakee, Grundy, to the southwest side. We have a community population of about 1.5 million. And I think that we have a service population of about 10,000 that we actually have actively in the program among Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Ventures, and crews. I'm sorry, Sea Scouts. So we're serving about 10,000 in Rainbow Council.
That's great. And it's good to hear that you're active in the district. You know, so many so many districts really don't have somebody there. You know, I'm always amazed going off and talking to these various scouters. How it's like, oh yeah, I'm a ham radio person. So I ask them, so how do you bring radio scouting to your district or troop? Well, you know, we sometimes, you know, do it on campouts or it's a troop event and stuff like that. And, you know, I ask them, have you thought about, you know, stepping up one more level to the district and kind of offering what you're doing there? And a lot of them have never thought about doing that. And it's always good to hear that there are districts out there that have good representation. It really only takes a very small gesture to make something actually happen.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think your story is kind of universal. There are a lot of guys out there and ladies that are licensed, and they go out with their units, and maybe they bring, you know, they might bring a handheld with them, or they might bring a small QRP station and a dipole, and they introduce the hobby, you know, within their unit. And we see that all the time. You know, when we go down to the camp and we operate for an event, all of a sudden you'll get the ham radio operators coming up to you. Oh, I've been licensed. And oh, fantastic. We didn't know. You know, it's great. Are you doing anything? And the same thing that you were saying, you know, have you ever thought about stepping it up one more level? We always invite them to become part of our group or do something on their own. And, you know, and it's a mentoring hobby. I mean, Elmers are still alive and well. And they, you get that spark and you see it begin to take hold. You know, we all have hobbies, you know, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about scouts is that, you know, I'm able to bring an engineering type product, you know, within radio to the scouts. You may have someone who is someone who works in manufacturing or someone who is a nuclear engineer. They bring those skills, they expose the boys, and you never know, you may be leaving an impression that ultimately may lead into a career and a successful venture in life just by having that one exposure. And all it takes is just saying, hey, maybe they'll find this kind of neat. And then you move forward from there.
Yeah. And I want to reflect back on what you were talking about with the various interests of the boys at different ages, how you said, like, the older boys are more interested in the mechanics and stuff like that, and the younger boys are interested in talking. You know, recently we just had a lot of, you know, chatter in the news about the ARRL's president talking about, you know, looking out at the face of amateur radio and how to get youth involved, and that the youth just really isn't interested in the hobby. And I couldn't disagree with that more, having, you know, the experience I've had. I'd just like to hear what, you know, maybe your reflection on the youth and their interest in what you actually bring out to, like, Jamboree on the Air, or what you bring out to troop and district events, and what kind of impact do you think the various technologies or less technologies have on their interest in amateur radio?
I think that if we had a real simple answer for that one, we probably would all be pretty rich, because it's a complicated question, or a complicated answer. What we've done is we always bring a digital station and we always have a phone station. So the older boys like the computers. They don't know that it's hooked up to a radio. They just like, what's that computer doing? I want to go check that out. And they come in and we sit in, and that's when we talk with them. And then we let them have a keyboard to keyboard conversation with someone else. And they go, oh, that's really cool. And we kind of dumb it down a little bit and call it texting over the radio. And they get that. They understand that. The older boys just love being able to grab that microphone, that sensory component of squeezing the mic, talking, letting it go, and then having somebody, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles away talk to you on the other end. But I think where the hobby actually needs to think about things is that the kids are single users with a phone. Okay, so we've heard that example an awful lot. But if you look at other areas where communication is going on, you've got the public safety realm. They're making their communication systems a heck of a lot more simple to deploy for that fireman or police officer in the field. If you look at the military, they're making it a tremendously more easy thing for a soldier to be able to have communication and accurate data all the way back to, you know, command and control. Gone are the days where you need specific, you know, people to come in and set up stations. And so I think that as technology improves And as ham radio begins to adapt into that technology, let's look at DMR. Let's look at the satellite components. Let's look at some of the things that are simple user in type, you know, technology. I think that that's where you can find a relevant space for people. I don't think that, and it's controversial to say that. I get it. I understand. I can, you know, I'm a CW operator, you know, licensed back when you had to have the code. I hope I have earned my props. But I also recognize that my own son, you know, who's in this age group, you know, can go and get the sum of all human knowledge right there in his hand. And that's an extremely difficult thing to compete with. And that's the problem. We think that we're competing against telephone technology or internet technology. No, we're competing as a realm of giving them avenues to develop new ways of communicating. It's the focus, I think. And if the hobby wants to be relevant and get licenses, well, we can do things like that. But I think that if you go back to the experimentation, if you go back with problem solving, if you go back to a little bit more, you know, developing things that are going to be practical and usable, I think that's where you're going to find the younger generation more interested in what we have to offer. Look at the Raspberry Pi. Look at the Arduino. Those are great technologies that the kids are going in and learning code on today, which I think is, you know, even in your own wheelhouse. And all you have to do is a very little bit of a modification to a Raspberry Pi or an Arduino, and all of a sudden you have a radio transmitter. And now you're able to maybe put a mesh together with other Arduinos, or you're able to control something, or a drone, or send video from one side of the neighborhood to the next. It's the experimentation and the real world application that I think that the kids find more interesting. Otherwise, a PSK station with, you know, a dipole hanging up there is kind of a museum piece in their mind. It's great technology. It's a wonderful way of doing things, but showing them the practical of, you know what? What do we need to do to take some video and have your friend on the other side of the neighborhood be able to see it? You can't do, yeah, you can text it, of course, you can stream it, but what will we do without those things? And then you begin to remove those barriers and the kids begin to problem solve. And I think that that's when you actually find out some really, really interesting challenges. Scouting does this very, very well because they will come in and say, okay, scouts, you've got to make breakfast. Let's get started. And it's boy led. You know, we're there to make sure that no one gets injured or hurt or killed. But at the same time, we're also mentoring them. Well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? I think if ham radio took on a little bit more of a mentoring style in that arena, then you would probably see a little bit more adaptation. You know, I can sit down with a radio and talk to someone in Canada while I'm out, you know, camping in Wisconsin. They all find that really neat and cool. But how does that really apply to them? Well, you know what? Let's figure out a way that when we're hiking and you are out 2 miles from our base, how are you going to communicate back to the area? Because this area doesn't have very good cell service. What are you going to do? That's when you begin to actually show them the hobby as a tool. And I think that's what it is. It's a tool, just like a phone. It's an entertainment center, yeah, but it's a tool. It's a communications platform. And we just need to begin to think of it the way they think of it, as a tool, not as a hobby, if that makes any sense. Think of it when you and I were the age of the scouts now. Okay, so we're, you know, I would have been a teenager in the 80s, and that was when the Apple II was basically coming out. The Macintosh hadn't hit really. You were dealing with an 8088 IBM. You might have been on DOS 5 if you were lucky, or 3.
323, right?
323, exactly. Yeah, I know how I can batch code with the best of them. But that was ham radio to us and to my generation. My parents' generation, my dad was licensed in the 1950s, they were trying to work. They were working with tubes. They didn't have the computer technology. That was their internet of that period. And I think that it's just an evolution. You know, ham radio hasn't suffered, I think, amongst our generation. We've introduced new, you know, there have been new modes that have been created as a result of our interaction with computers. We want to, you know, go back to packet in the 90s or the digital stuff today. You know, the digital modes are, you know, everyone said, oh, the code is going to be, you know, the death of, you know, if we don't have code, it's going to be the death of the hobby. Well, the biggest growth in traffic on the HF bands, at least according to ClubLog, has been digital modes, you know, at the expense of phone. And why is that? Because, and that's because the license at the entry level, technician, doesn't give you that HF phone privilege. Okay, that's an argument for a different day, but people are getting those technician licenses and they're using digital and they're using it where they can, 6 meters and up. The folks that are interested in it, that are trying to make something of it, are going to figure out a way to make the hobby relevant to them. And today's generation isn't going to look at radio teletype the way it was done as the method of using it. They're going to try to figure out how they're going to be able to stream video and audio, you know, from one location to the next. And I think that's an extremely exciting use of technology. And I don't think that ham radio could be better situated as a platform for folks to experiment that way.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I hope I'm not saying too many things that are just way off the beaten path. I mean, this is just kind of truly the way I look at the hobby. I recognize that, you know, you've got an awful lot of people that are getting their licenses and they're having a very difficult time and they're challenged on how to use them. And I think that, you know, if you're able to begin to work with them to explore new avenues, take the things that they're already doing with, you know, with computers or with other technology, you know, I think that that's a great platform in which to connect the two hobbies, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, I know you got to run, so I'm going to let you go.
Sure.
And I'll see what I can do with this. And I appreciate your time today.
Hey, Bill, not a problem. I definitely appreciate it. Like I said, I'm sorry if I went too far afield in some of the areas. I just wanted to promote the, you know, the concept on the radio scouting. So, but thanks so much for indulging me. I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. You have a great weekend.